Welcome to the Sanctus NYC Message Podcast. We are the young adult community of the Brooklyn Tabernacle, built on the transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Join us today as we look to God to lead us into the fullness of the life that he has for us.
What in your mind makes for a successful life? When you look at a day spent, you look back at a year spent, if you, in the future, on your deathbed, look back at your entire life, what in that moment when you would look back would make you say, that was a life well spent? Think about that for a second. To you, what is a meaningful, purposeful, good and fulfilling life look like? If some people, you might have ideas coming to your mind right now of what that would mean for you. Maybe you don't. Let me help you figure out what in your mind, how you view life, what would make for a successful life for you. Look at the last 6 months of your life. How you've spent your time, how you've spent your money, what your mind has been dominated thinking about, what has the majority of your life over the last 6 months been spent on? That right there shows you what you're living for. That shows you what you are placing the highest value on, what you're believing that continuing in pursuing and chasing after those things is going to lead to a fulfilling, purposeful, meaningful life. How you spend your life shows you what your heart ultimately places the highest value on. So you might say, well, I'm living for God. Does your life say that? Take a second and just take inventory of your life. What for you specifically? You have to be 100% real with yourself. What does your life say about what you value most, about what you're living for ultimately? I want to put a verse up real quick. Can we put up that verse, the first one from Matthew or Mark, whatever it was? Nope, not that one. Okay, cool. So this is a story, just for some context. Jesus comes to the Pharisees. Who are the Pharisees? They were the religious Jewish leaders at the time who had devoted their lives to keeping all of the law and publicly leading the nation of Israel in what is morally right, in how things should go. They were the leaders, and they had the most, on the surface, outside looking in, everybody looked at them as like, these are the godliest people there could be. Like, these are the standard, that if we really want to be godly, our life needs to look like these people the most that it possibly can. And so Jesus, talking with the Pharisees, says this: how can you believe, talking about himself, since you accept glory from one another, but do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? After this, he says to them, you're talking about Moses, but you actually don't believe in Moses. You are talking about God, but your life really isn't about God. He highlights to them, there's something in the way here between you actually getting to God, to me. And what is it? He's like, you're talking, you're checking all these external boxes, making people think that you're really godly. But by looking at your life, what does your life actually say? That you are seeking your purpose, validation, fulfillment, meaning in life. The success that you're chasing after is found in what people can give you rather than what God can give you. So he says, no matter what you're saying, no matter how often you're in the synagogues checking these boxes, I see what really is in your heart. And there's actually something keeping you from the life you were made for in me. It's because you're not even looking for me. If you were really looking for me, you would have already found me. But the reason why you're stuck is because you're looking somewhere else. You're not serving God, you're using God. You have your agenda of what it is that you're chasing in this world. Acclaim from people, climbing ladders, power, recognition. You have your earthly ambitions that you're devoting yourself to. And sure, you might be adding God into the equation. You might be spiritualizing your ambitions and your glory. But in the end of the day, no matter how much you talk about God, you're cut off. You're not actually living in him because your life proves what you're living for. That's a sharp rebuke to people who on the surface seem to be some of the godliest people around. But he shows them what's happening in their heart. He says, you are living for the here and now. You're living for what you can get from people and through people. You're looking to climb the hierarchies of this world. Your ambition is solely anchored in the tangible, in the here and now in this world. And because of that, you're missing me. Hearing that, I can 100% see that to be the case in my life. When I look at what I've spent my life on in so many moments, so many times and periods throughout my life, 100% I could say I wasn't serving God, I was using God. I was trying to be God. I was chasing things in this world. If God had any relevance in my life, it was only to the extent that he could support me in my ambitions. Living for how people perceive me. Living, chasing status, material, relationships. Looking for what my heart needs here. It's like you can roast the Pharisees, but you and I are Pharisees. When you look at Jesus' rebuke, that's a rebuke actually to all of us. There's not a single person who that hasn't been their story. The reason why is because we are all stuck living for our own glory. That verse said, you're looking for glory from one another. You're looking for your own glory, and you're rejecting living for the glory of God. You're stuck living for your dreams, your ambitions, your plans. You have your idea of what life needs to look like, and you're saying, God, if you're real, if you really love me, then give me what I want. But this is what I'm here for. This is what I want. This is what I've decided the best outcome for my life could be. And this is where I'm going. So either, God, you're either for me or you're against me, but I'm not budging. This is what I've determined to be the best route for my life. What the Bible tells us is that that is the state of all of our hearts. We are all stuck living for ourselves. Living for things in this world, living for what we could get out of people, what we could get out of the systems of this world, believing, we're stuck believing that the best we could possibly get is what we can get from what's here around us. And the sad thing about that is there is nothing emptier than a life spent on self. There is nothing more anxiety-inducing, despair-invoking, leaving you depressed, frustrated, really quick highs of pleasure, and then the hardest crashes, constantly just frustrated. What percent of Gen Z, the statistics every year just keep shooting up higher and higher. They say that, I think 67% of Gen Zers say that they struggle with anxiety and depression now. Everybody. Like, literally all of us are stuck living with this emptiness, living constantly consuming, chasing. We're living for ourselves more than any generation in human history, and we are more anxious and more depressed than any people who've ever lived. It's interesting, right? Why? Maybe because we weren't made to live for ourselves. Maybe because you were not made to be God. You were not made to try to be the God of your life, build your kingdom, get glory from people thinking that you're impressive, building this reputation, building this name and status for yourself. We're all trying to do it. It's not working. What the Bible ultimately says is the reason why that doesn't work is because you were never made to live that way. From the beginning, you were made by God for God. You weren't made to be a little God who God shares being God with. You were made to live for him and his glory entirely. Where life isn't about you, it's about him. He made you because he is goodness personified. He is love personified. He is everything that our soul could ever long for in the most tangible, real form. He is so good that he made us so that we can live in his goodness. Because he's the source of goodness, he didn't make us for the world, which apart from him is not good. He made us for himself. That's not unfair. Because he's so good, because he's so loving, the most loving thing he possibly could have done for us is to make us so that we could need him but have access to him and find everything we need in him. That is God's design and purpose for your life and for my life. We were made for the glory of God. If you try to make life about yourself, finding who you are apart from God, you'll never find peace. You'll never have a secure identity. Your identity is going to be completely dependent on how you're performing, how you think you're performing. It's the most inconsistent, shaky ground. Constantly living with this imposter syndrome, and in any moment, whatever you think you are could be stolen in a second. Whatever you're building your identity on can go. You weren't made to carry glory from yourself. You weren't made so that you can find a sense of security in being impressive to people. You were made to be connected and the fruit, a branch coming off of God himself. You become your truest self when you are no longer living for yourself. You become your truest self when you are living and your life is completely signed away to the glory of God. Maybe you're a Christian and that, even though part of you fights against that, you're like, I know that's true. Maybe you're here and you're not a Christian and that sounds like horrible. It's like, I have no interest in not being the God of my life. I have no interest in not living for the things that seem to be fulfilling and will give me that sense of identity and security. Well, that's the point of why we're even doing this tonight. What the Bible says is we, apart from the help and God saving us, are stuck. We're slaves living for ourselves, living for our own glory, living to try to build these lives that can impress people, trying to find all of the contentment we can in this world, and it never works. It's such a lie for you today. It's not working for you right now. And I'm sorry, you might not like me for saying this. It's not gonna work. It might seem promising for some moments. There might be some hope, but even if you get to that thing that you're chasing, hoping for, it's not gonna deliver because you weren't made for it. You were made for God alone, for his glory, for you to become nothing so that he could become everything. And Jesus came to save us from the fact that we're stuck living for our own glory, stuck chasing, trying to make a name for ourselves, trying to build our plans for our lives. He came to save us so that we could be free from our selfish will and live lives for his glory. He, through his power, when we trust in him, changes us so that we can begin to live lives for ourselves no longer, but for him poured out. That is your purpose in life. Do you want to know what you are on earth for today? Why you are alive? It's not self-actualization in the way that the world is telling you it is. It's not so that you can look back one day and be like, I really made it. I really did become that star on that the world was impressed with me, or I finally got that relationship, or I was able to move, or I was able to travel and have all of these experiences. Your purpose, the reason why you are alive today, is for the glory of God. You will find no deep, fulfilling, lasting peace aside from a life that's no longer about you, but entirely about him. The beauty of the gospel, the message of Jesus today is he saves you from the part of you that doesn't want that. He gives you a heart that is able to live for what you were made for, which is him alone. So, you were made for the glory of God. That is your purpose on earth. Every day from now until the day that you die, the actual weight and measure and true purpose, true lasting purpose that's going to come from your life from now until the day you die is only going to be found in the moments that you are living for God's glory, not your own. One quick quote that comes to my mind. There's a missionary who died, was martyred actually, in South America about 60 years ago named Jim Elliot, a husband of Elizabeth Elliot. A lot of you guys might know who she is. And he had a famous quote that said this: he is no fool who loses what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. You are no fool to lose things that you can't keep, momentary pleasures that have no real value, no real purpose, losing those things to gain the things that your life is going to be defined by, the things that you're going to be able to carry into eternity with you. What are those things? Let's just talk about that before we wrap up tonight. So you could put up that first verse, the one from Matthew. So Jesus saying in Matthew 5, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So let's just keep that up for 1 second. What light are we supposed to let shine before others? Is it the light about you that's so special that makes you, it's like your personality, your quirkiness, you got that little sense of humor, even though, I'm not trying to roast right now, all right. I almost came for a lot of people's necks. Lord, help me. What is the light that you have? The world will say, it's just you are your inner divinity. It's you have to release and break through all of the traumas and things that you've experienced in life to get down deep to that inner light of who you really are, your inner goodness, and channel it and let the world see how amazing and beautiful you are. That's what the world says. The gospel says this. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Apart from him, we can do nothing. That our holiness is Christ in us. When Jesus is talking about this light, the light that he's talking about is the light that we receive when we put our faith in Christ. It's not who we are apart from him. It's not our inner goodness and our inner divinity. It's who we are through him. It's him alive in us, shining to the world around us. Jesus is saying, this is the purpose of your life. Let your light shine. But what is that light? Who you are? How amazing and impressive you are so that people can look at you and be like, wow, she's amazing. No, the light that we have to offer the world is Christ in us. It's when we put our faith in him, the light of the world has come now to live in us that he can begin to shine through us. That the calling of God on our life, the way that we ultimately glorify him is by doing what this says right here, good works that are the product of him shining and flowing through us. The way that God glorifies himself through our life, the way that we live for the glory of God, it's really important that we understand this right now. It's not us trying to be as impressive as we can so that people think we're really cool, because then through that, then they might think God is interesting. It is allowing the very life of God. He wants to flow through us. He wants to love through us. He wants to serve through us. We see the character of Christ. Philippians 2, he came, became a servant of all. This is our master. He is the greatest servant. He didn't come to be served, but to serve. Christ himself now lives within us and is desiring to love through us, to serve through us, to encourage people, to build people up through us. That all, that living for the glory of God is ultimately letting God glorify himself through you. Living for the glory of God isn't trying to be the best version of Jesus that you can be. It's letting Jesus shine through you. It's letting Jesus love through you. It's letting him serve other people through you. Not trying to be the best version of yourself, but recognizing he came and saved me. He came now to fill me so that he can flow through me and shine his light to the world through my life. All real ministry, all real love is done not by us, but by Jesus through us. He fills us with his grace, and then that grace flows to other people and begins to build them up. I'm going to get to that in a second. Here we go. So let's, we're going to wrap up in just 1 second, just a couple last thoughts. So what is the purpose of God for your life today? From today until the day you die, it is that you live for his glory alone. It's not, you know, how much of this does God want? Does he want maybe just like 3 days out of the week? He just wants a couple of these things. If I scratch his back and I like live for his glory in those areas, will he then bless me and give me the other things that I want? If that's the way you and I are looking at it, then Jesus is really wanting to do some work in our heart. Because God is working in you to get to a place where what you truly desire is to live for his glory. It's not using living for his glory so that he then can serve you back in giving you the things and the ambitions and the plans you have for this life. If we continue in that path of, well, this is ultimately what I'm on earth for, living for myself, chasing these dreams and these ambitions, and God, how much do I need to give you so that you give me those things? You're going to stay stuck. God wants to do a deeper work in your heart tonight where you say, yeah, it's okay that I have certain desires. It's okay that these are certain things that I feel in my heart, but I'm not living for these things. I'm living for you and your kingdom and your glory. Wherever you lead me, it's okay to have certain desires, but if those desires are controlling you, then they are what you're living for. You're living for your glory. And what God is saying is, I want to give you now this new heart. I want to work in you by my power so that you are across the board living for the things that I want to lead, the ways that I want to work through your life. What's beautiful and liberating about this is this. When we embrace, by God's help, that our life is for his glory, and we take whatever our desires are, whatever our plans are, and we lay it at his feet, we actually become free to trust him, to walk down whatever paths he might lead us. We can have excitement about certain things. Maybe God's doing this, and look, this is beautiful, and that might work out. But I'm no longer controlled by my circumstances needed to go a certain way for me to say, I have peace and my life is successful right now. I don't need to get that promotion. I don't need to get the big break. I don't need to get the relationship because I'm ultimately not living for those things. If they come, it's okay to enjoy them. They're good, but they're not what I was made for. The thing that I'm ultimately made for is the glory of God, of seeing him work through my life. I'm seeing these beautiful things he's doing in and through me. I'm set. Life is amazing. And whatever he leads me into, whatever things he gives me, it's great, but I don't need them. For a lot of us, God wants to free you. It's like we've just been living these self-focused, selfish lives. It's like the devil just has us completely played. And it's like our mind is under this fog. Our focus is dead set on just once this break comes, once this thing happens. And meanwhile, all that we were made for, all of these opportunities, the real things that are going to bring fulfillment to us of how God wants to work through us, all of these opportunities are just passing us by that he prepared for us. Thing after thing after thing. And I'm so empty. I'm feeling frustrated. Like my life has no purpose. It's because I'm choosing the wrong purpose. I'm rejecting the ultimate purpose that he's given me. So God, I think for a lot of us, it's like you hate your job. Do you hate your job because you have no opportunities in front of you to love and serve people and point them to Jesus, or because you just don't see how it fits into your plan for your life? You're frustrated with the state of your life. Why? Your frustrations ultimately show what you're living for too. The things that are troubling you and stealing your peace about your circumstances, this is so wrong. Can I tell you, better is the least flashy, reputable, clout-filled position while seeing the glory of God work through your life than whatever that dream is of success that you think, once I get there, that'll be it, right? And so I want to just close with this tonight. How practically then do we do this? What does it actually look like for us to live for the glory of God? So what that last verse said, good works, that this light is shining through us. It's Christ himself. So what that practically means, it is the love of God filling us and flowing through us to love other people. It is us choosing to be servants, to have the servant heart of Christ, and to step into opportunities where we have the opportunity to serve people and show them Jesus. through our love, through how we prioritize them, through how we meet their needs. The glory of God is revealed through our life as the fruits of the Spirit are produced through us for other people to enjoy. When Christ is flowing through us and we become this peaceful, stabilizing presence in the midst of other people's chaos in their life, people will not look at us and just be like, wow, look how amazing they are. And even if they are, we can tell them in that moment, no, this is who Jesus is. In situations where people are so challenging to love, where naturally everything in you just wants to go the opposite direction, God's love flows through you. And somebody so broken by life, somebody who's so hard to be around because they've been through crazy stuff, is shown a love that they've never experienced before, and it points them to the love they were made for in Christ. We could list so many examples, but it is embodying and showing the character and nature of Christ in situations only through his power that point people to him. We're not made to point people to ourselves. And as we love people and serve people, our lives point them to Jesus. And what's so crazy about it is in the middle of us doing that, that is where we find the greatest fulfillment and satisfaction. When God's grace is flowing through us to point people to Jesus, to show people Jesus, his grace flows through us, out of us. That flowing through us process is some of the places where we find the most refreshing in life. It's like when God is flowing through us, we encounter him. When we're serving, when we're going low, when we're prioritizing other people, those are the places where God actually becomes the most real in our lives. There's a famous quote from a guy named Andrew Murray. A lot of us have read his books. He said, in the same way that water trickles down to the lowest point, God's grace and power trickles down to those who place themselves in the lowest positions. We see the glory of God when we're not holding on to our lives in situations where we have challenging people, challenging circumstances, not making it about ourselves, but looking to go low, looking to serve, looking to prioritize other people, looking to not gain, but to pour out. When we're pouring out, that's when we find life. But to close, one last verse that we're going to just put up really quick from 1 Peter. It says this: each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So let's just walk through this real quick. Each of you. So there's not a single person in Christ who falls outside of this. This is a universal command and calling that's placed on the life of every believer. Every single one of you should. This is a command and a calling for your life. To do what? Use whatever gift you have received to serve others. So what does that mean? Whatever gift. And this is where we see ultimately one of the main ways that God wants to use us to glorify himself. Of course, it's showing the character and nature of Christ to the world around us, loving, serving. But what this is saying is there is a gift that every single person who's put their faith in Jesus has received. When you put your faith in Christ, you're born again. The Spirit of God comes and lives inside of you. And when he comes, he brings gifts that he wants to use, especially through your life, to see the world around you change and come to know Jesus. Every single person, without exception, has been given a gift. Given something, it's different than a talent. It's different than a strength. Some of the strengths and talents that we have may end up becoming gifts on the other side of getting saved. But the point of what this is saying is something, the moment you receive Christ and the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, there is this new supernatural life and energy that he's come and given you that is the primary thing that he wants to see used through your life to see the world come to know Jesus. You are specifically gifted by God to see the world change around you. Do you know what that gifting is? It is so important that we seek God and really get alone with him and say, what is it that you've called me to do? If he gives these gifts, he's not gonna withhold from you knowledge of what those things are. one day you and I are going to have to give an account to God for how we use the gifts that we've given, how we served and were faithful with these things. If that's true, he's not going to withhold you from knowing what it is, right? So number one, do you know the gifts that God's given you? It's at least one. If you don't, open your Bible. There's three chapters in the Bible that list the gifts of the Spirit. Get alone with God, open it, and say, Lord, I don't know. Maybe it's this, maybe it's that. I need you to give me clarity and a sense of conviction of like, this is something that I have to own and begin to move with and operate with. If I'm going to give an account to you one day for what I do with this, then really, like, Holy Spirit has promised us in the Bible, he leads us into all truth. He's going to show you. But you've got to get alone with God, because if you don't see your spiritual gift as some of, as one of the main ways that God wants to glorify himself through your life, it's like we're just stuck leaning on our own understanding, living for ourselves. Like, God wants to give you this sense of mission and calling of, I've given you this. I've called you to this church. I've called you to this job. I've called you to this city. Begin to use now what I've given you. My grace is with you. I'm with you. I'm going to work through you and pour out. As you lower yourself and depend on me and receive the grace that I want to work through you, you're going to see opportunity after opportunity, moment after moment of my grace working through your life and transforming the world around you. And as you see that, you are going to find a fulfillment and a purpose and a faith for your life. You're going to recognize, no, this is it. Like, this is actually what I'm alive for. It's not just so that people think I'm somebody. When you are able to use the gifting God's given you to point people to Jesus, it makes you come alive in a way like you've never experienced before. You think God's going to withhold that from you? No. You've got to see that's what's on the table. That's what he wants to lead you into. Use whatever gift you've received for what? A lot of times we think with our gifting, the purpose of our gifting is making our lives better. It's making people think we're impressive. Interesting, the Greek word for the word gift in this is charisma. And it's a funny, like, flip side. The charisma gifts of the Spirit of God versus the way that the world frames charisma. Charisma in the world is about how you've got it so that you can get the life that you want. But the charisma of God, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, is how heaven explodes through your life as you're trusting him and seeing the world around you transformed. The charisma of the world draws attention to self. The charisma of the Holy Spirit makes Jesus beautiful through your life. As faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Last thing as we close, faithful stewards. For those of us who don't know what a steward is, there's different examples listed in Scripture of stewards. There's a parable of a wealthy man who entrusts his own money to different people and then comes back, and how they used what was entrusted to them, he judges them for. What this is saying is, each of you, use whatever gift you have. Whatever you have, that's, of course, the gifts of the Spirit, but it's the life that you have. It's everything that you have in your hands. John says this in the Bible. What do you have that you haven't received? It's really easy to be proud and try to draw attention to ourselves and live for our glory when we think that the things that we have going for ourselves are, it's like, it's just who I am. Like, I compare myself to people like, yeah, I got it like that, with that. But when you see every single thing that God has given you, every gift that he has given you is for the purpose of his glory. There's not a single area of your life where God has given you something so that it will not turn back around so that people can look and say, Jesus is who I was made for. The Bible says that we're stewards. Everything that you and I have, we don't really have. Our life can end in a moment. This next moment isn't promised. God is keeping us alive. It's his life. The Bible says that we were bought with the price of his blood. Our life has been purchased by Christ. Everything we have is from him and for him. And when we live with the recognition of my life is from him and for him, that is where we find who we really are. That is where we find fulfillment and purpose, and we see life become beautiful and glorious. So God has entrusted many things into your hands. He's given you gifts. He's given you a purpose. Maybe you're walking in it. Maybe you are in a place where it's, God, I'm living for your glory. Here's my life. Let's go. Whatever that means. You're going to have to lead me. You're going to have to help me. But this is it. My life is yours. Or maybe you are living for your plans, your glory, and you're trying to squeeze God into it. You're trying to use God for your agendas. As long as that's the case, you are going to miss the true life, living in fellowship, encountering the real presence of God. And God wants to help us by his grace tonight, through his Spirit coming and working in us, so that we can begin to say, God, save me from living for myself and my glory. Here is my life. It is yours. My purpose is for your glory. In my job, in my family, in the church, how that looks like is me serving, is me loving, is me using what you've given me to point people back to you. That's not just something that I do with a little bit of my week. That is the calling that you've placed on every single area of my life. Let that be what my heart breaks for now. Let me burn for that. Save me from living from empty, selfish living. Living for myself. It hasn't worked. I'm believing tonight it never will. Let me live a life poured out for you, that when I come to Sanctus on Friday nights, I'm not just looking at people like, do I like them? Am I feeling their energy? It's like, no, you're coming filled with the heart of Christ, looking at people as the command Jesus gives us, in the same way that I've loved you, love one another. You're here not just to be nice to other people. You're here to love and pour out. You're here to use what God's put in your hands to build other people's faith. If this is a room filled with people living for the glory of God by his grace, constantly pouring our lives out for one another and for the world, what will happen here? How beautiful. And the last thing I'm gonna say is this. The beautiful thing is that God wants to use my little life and your little life to meet people in their darkest moments of discouragement. When they're fighting in the fight of faith, you're loving, you're serving, you're encouraging, you're using the gifts that God has given you are the very things often that he uses to save people from despair, to build their faith up. Like, how beautiful is that? We need to allow the Lord to lay this heavy on our hearts tonight, to say, God, I accept this purpose that you're giving me today. So the singers can come up right now. Here's how I want to close. I believe that based on everything that was said, God wants to come by his power as we trust him to save us from living selfishly. He wants to work his holy grace and energy into your heart to begin to become somebody who is living for his glory, his will for people. I believe that there are ministries, burdens, callings, new ways of looking at your life that God wants to meet you here with tonight. He wants to fill you with his Spirit. He wants to fill you with love. He wants to help you surrender to his calling and lay down your trying to build your kingdom and living for your glory. He will save you from it, and he will give you the heart of Christ if you would be willing to receive it and respond in faith. So let's all stand up where we are right now. If this word is speaking to your heart, if the Lord is highlighting to you, he wants to lead you deeper into a life of serving and pouring out, to find your meaning, fulfillment, success in pouring yourself out for his glory, stepping into the good works that he's prepared for you. If you're saying, I want to receive the burdens and the callings and the convictions, I want you to wake me up from living selfishly. I want you to fill me with love and power to show me what the gifts are that you've given me so I can begin to step in faith and use them. If that is you tonight and you want to respond to the grace of God, we don't normally do this, just come to the front, fill the aisles, come to the altar right now. We're going to begin to sing, I'll Say Yes. And as you come to the front, that's going to be you just responding to Jesus, saying, I will say yes to your will. I lay my will down at your feet right now. Jesus, take my life. let me live for your glory alone. Begin to just pray right now. Make that your prayer to the Lord.
We hope you are encouraged by today's message. To connect with us, visit our ministry page at brooklyntabernacle.org, or you can follow us on our Instagram @sanctusnyc.